Well, welcome to yet another episode of Flip Your Friday. I'm your host, Wynn Silverman. This is my co-host, Casey LeBlanc. And this is pretty fun. We have Elijah Cooks in the house. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We are live here in Boise.
Boise, Idaho. We're out here having a great time in this cold weather.
It's 20 degrees. Mm-hmm. Wind chill of about 10.
Yep.
It's cold.
Yep.
Yeah. But we're here for the Potato Bowl.
Yeah.
Right? Ready to go. So this is a day before the actual event. Mm-hmm. This is going to post on Friday. So at that point, we'll know what's up.
Yeah,
right?
we'll know what happened.
We want to kind of just jump right in. The first thing we want to do is give us a little bit of background. You're at San Jose State. You guys are in a bowl game. Tell us a little bit about the experience of getting to San Jose State. So you're a wide receiver, made it to a bowl. Now tell me a little bit about you and how you got to that point.
I mean, just honestly, getting to San Jose was the easy part for me. So I knew once I was finna transfer, I knew I wanted to go to San Jose State because I knew the team they had.
Okay.
I really knew, like, because they had some boys. Like, you know, June, no Cade. I played against those guys my whole life.
Okay. Wow. So you started at Nevada. So for those that don't know, you started at Nevada, played 3 years there.
Part of your decision-making process was knowing that the team was good.
Yeah, like, so Eric Biscott, like the receiver coach I was telling you about, he was my coach at Nevada. And he came here and wanted me to come the year before. He wanted me to come back in 2021, last year. But I was just like, we got Carson Strong at Nevada, Romeo Dubs, like we got a real NFL team over there. But then I got injured, I got hurt. So I missed the whole season, came over here with East Scott, knowing that the defense was gonna be great and they just needed a few things on offense.
A couple playmakers
on offense. And that's when I came on my official, actually with Shevin. My official visit was with Shevin.
Really?
And I told him, I was like, bro, wherever you're going to college, I'm going to jail.
Really?
Like, I'm gonna go with you. Like,
so you guys were texting back and forth going, hey.
So did you consider Hawaii?
Well, he was leaving. That's why he was out of there, because he didn't want his coach, the coach that they had there.
Yeah.
They left, so he wanted to leave. But since he left, he was going to go to Colorado State on a visit the day after he came to San Jose.
Interesting.
He was going to go to Colorado State, and my old coach went there too. But I was just like, bro, wherever you go, I'm going to go with you. And just know, San Jose State, we're going to have a great time. I know the coach. I know E. We're going to throw the ball. And so as soon as we did that, I knew.
Now, you guys are roommates.
Yeah, we're roommates.
So you guys become friends.
One of my best friends.
You met through the recruiting process?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I kind of knew him because I hated playing Shevin.
Like, yeah.
Shevin's the worst fucking player to play against.
Why is that?
He throws. He does it all.
Like, yeah.
It's dynamic.
Every single time. When we're on offense, it's like you hate quarterbacks who can really run because it makes the defense really have to work. Because they can't just guard people. They got to run.
Right.
They can do everything. And so whenever we play Shevin, he would go crazy against us. He would go... I didn't think we lost to Shevin two out of three times I played at Nevada. And we played every year.
Hey, can you talk a little bit about the distinction between the culture at Reno versus the culture at San Jose State?
Yeah.
Was it different? And Brennan's role in that? Like,
I mean, honestly, Brennan's role in it. Brennan plays a huge role because Brennan makes us like, the culture here is like we're family for real. Like at Nevada, we did stuff together, but we didn't do as everything. Like here, we're doing every little thing together. We're going places together. We're hanging out with each other, even when we're not supposed to. Like, I'll be kicking it with my homies all day, every day. Like, it's just, no matter what, you didn't want to leave the house.
Do you think that translates into more wins?
Yes, 100%. Honestly, because, like, being cool with my teammates, like, being able to just kick it with them, and I can talk to them straight up, like, tell them, like, bro, you're playing like shit right now. Step your game up. And, like, they'll understand. They'll be like, all right, he's my boy. I'm listening to him. We got it. That's why.
That even translates to the whole. Some people don't understand that this is a full time job the entire year. So does that also happen in the locker room? If someone's slacking, for example, do you feel compelled to be able to, hey, dude, like you're doing the ghost lifting, right? Mm-hmm. We used to call it ghost lifting, where you might rack it once and then maybe that's your full workout. Do you guys pay attention to stuff like that and call players out and do all that or not?
Honestly, this year they put in this thing called like the leadership council. So we have every single person, every group has one to two leaders in their group that like we meet every week and we just talk about shit and we'll just be like, all right, if we think we should do this, like we made a rule, like because people were showing up late, we made a rule that you had to be 10 minutes early before the lift, and if you're not 10 minutes early, you had to start doing up downs until the person got there. So you're just doing up downs for like, there's been a few times and you just get mad and that just pisses you off and it makes you just be like, bro, get the fuck to practice. This is your job. Like this is what you do every single day. There's nothing else you do.
When you were at Nevada, did you get an opportunity to play in a bowl game?
Yeah, so we played Played in the, so in 2018, I played in the Arizona Bowl. 2019, I played in the Idaho Bowl.
Okay.
And then.
Oh, so you've been here before.
Yeah, I've been here before. Okay. So I've been here.
Okay. So walk those of us that have never been in the, on the backside of, they see the bowl game, but there's a, it's a whole lead up to it. So
it's
walk
a whole
us
week.
Through,
yeah, you're not, you don't just fly to the game.
Yeah, so walk us through, like, what's this experience been like? What have you been doing? What's going on in a player's head the day before the game? What do we got?
It's just completely, because, like, we're out in Boise, Idaho, so we're trying to experience and see what the life is like out here. Like, we got here Friday. We were out. Our curfew was a little later, so we got to go out, see what people would do.
Okay.
And just enjoy ourselves. It's, honestly, I didn't expect Boise. Like, my first time coming in 2019, it shocked me, because I didn't think Boise was going to be, like, a nice little downtown city.
Got a cool little downtown.
Got a cool little downtown, and then we came, this year was like my first time I'm old enough to like actually do stuff, actually be by myself, hang out.
Yeah.
So it was just fun. Kind of like just all the teammates were out. It was
you guys just took over
Boise for real. Like just took
have
over.
You guys, you guys are playing Eastern Michigan. Mm-hmm. Have you guys ran into other Eastern Michigan guys, or are they kind of tucked away?
They're kind of tucked away, but like I think Saturday night.
Are you having like a contest or anything? Like I remember our bowl game, we would compete with like various, like an eating contest for the linemen or something like that. Is there anything like that?
I think we have that tonight. I think is that what the Mash Bash is? We have like a Mash Bash tonight. Yeah. Where bands come out and like, we're going to be all turned. People are be more energized. And then we had also the.
That's fun.
Yeah, we also did like this thing for feeding like the homeless. We did like, it was like a race where we made a bunch of oatmeals and tried to make like 40,000 meals for people and they beat us.
Tell me a little bit more about the curfew and how Coach Brandon is managing that with you guys. Because, look, I mean, you're about to, you know, go to your next step, hopefully. So in your mindset and through his mindset, is it each day it's just getting us closer and closer to what bedtime has to be?
Yeah,
how does this work?
So each day, so like as soon as we first thought we got here, gave us a little leeway, kind of like 12 o'clock, we could come back home, 12 o'clock. Saturday.
Are you getting bed checks? How's this working?
GAs come by, they bed check us, make sure we're in our room. If both people are in the room, they blow your phone up, make sure you're in there. And so, first two nights, we got 12 o'clock curfew. And then tonight's our earliest curfew. I think we have like 10 o'clock curfew. Like, it was 10 o'clock curfew because we got to wake up early.
Right.
And so, it's a regular game. But honestly, just being on a trip like this is cool just because like you get to hang out. Like, whenever we travel to places like, we went to Alabama, one day.
Yeah.
You're there for one day.
Yeah.
You don't do shit except for sit in a hotel room all week, all night.
So now are you guys watching film while you're here, or have you guys already watched the film? Because you have a couple of weeks after your season finale. So, but you don't know who your opponent is at that point, right?
So you don't know who until after the championship, not much championship game.
Yeah.
So you find that out after all that. And so we've been watching film on them for the past 2 weeks. I think it's been 2 weeks. And so we kind of have like know what they do. We know what they want to do. Mm-hmm. So we're ready. We're ready. Like we're ready to play.
You feel the team, the energy, the strategy, the game plan.
100%. I love playing like teams like this. Like they come out, they play a lot of man coverage.
Especially how fucking tall you are.
What are you? 6'4"?
6'4". Yeah.
6'4". Okay. So we're gonna do some prediction. We're gonna put you on the spot. So we're gonna say. 6 for 120, or what do we? What do you,
shit, that sounds nice. I'm liking that. Okay. I'm really
high scoring. You think it's gonna be a high scoring affair, or do you think?
I think we're gonna put points on the board.
Okay,
I think we're gonna put points on the board.
Okay, so you're excited, especially
we all close. We all close too, because we're all close to like a milestone. Like Shem is close to 3,000. I'm close to 1,000.
What about the role of this weather and it being about fucking 9 degrees?
The cold.
I swear to you. The heated benches changed the game.
Oh, is that right?
The heated benches changed the game. Like, Utah, I would not have played Utah State. I promise you, I would not have been able to make it if we didn't have those heated benches.
It was cold in Utah, right? You guys, for your guys' game.
It was like, at one point, somebody posted a snap, Instagram story, put the weather, and it was like 14 degrees.
Okay.
And it was cold. Like, it was, night, it was at
9 o'clock. You guys scored some points. You guys scored 35 something?
We scored 35 points that game. It was just freezing, but every time, you go straight. As soon as you come, get off that field, you go straight to the bench, sit down, get your thing on. They have things you stuck your hands in, get your hands warm, put your feet warm. And we have them here, so that's why I said.
Tell us something that we don't know, that most people don't know about the bowl experience or about this week or weekend that you could, you know, kind of give us some insight.
That you're going to remember, maybe.
Just anything that just kind of surprises you about this experience.
Sticks out, anything?
Honestly, like the amount of time. You have, like, that's what really sticks out. Like, when you go to a bowl game, people don't understand how fun a bowl game is until you really get to go to one.
Because you have time.
You have time to do shit with your friends. Like, you're, like you said,
you're on vacation with
them. We're on vacation, bro.
But it's a business trip, right?
And, like, we talked about it all year. Like, we always talked about, like, do we want to go to Idaho? Like, we could go to Hawaii. We can go to LA. Like, come on, where are we trying to go?
Yeah.
And so just with the people wanting to play in a better bowl game, it honestly makes your team want to play better, do better. So, like, we Scott would tell our receiver room, like, shit, the more wins you win, the warmer the game is. Like, you feel me? You win more games, you're in Hawaii. You win less games, you're in Idaho. Right? That's how it works out. That's what happened. We lost a few games then.
Yeah, San Diego State was a bitch.
Yeah. I've been to a couple of them, luckily. Yeah. Okay, so tomorrow you play the game. Tomorrow the game's at 1:30. After that, then you can go and sign with an agency. Obviously, the goal here is to play at the next level. Walk us through what happens after the game, maybe in the next couple of months. Walk us through what that
the agent
looks like
process
for you.
In general, like, what has been happening?
So, I've been meeting with quite a few people. Like, we talked about my sister. That
so you can have meetings prior to.
Yeah, so I can't sign nothing until I'm done.
But you can talk. And so there's, for me, based on my experience, I did this for 20 years, right? There was two types of players. There was a player that didn't want to talk to one agent and relied on his family actually to select maybe like five or six that they kind of liked, and they presented them to you because he just don't want to mess up his focus. Were you that kind of player? Or there was the other player that wanted to get to learn as many agents as you could, or try to understand who he has the best rapport with throughout this season, and it didn't feel like it would fuck up his focus. What type of player are you?
So we're going to go back to 2019. Yeah. I had a good year, and I was actually about to declare. I was going to declare in 2019 because I had like 950 yards, 70-some catches. Like, I had a good year. So I was going to declare, but I stayed back, and COVID happened. And when that time happened,
interesting.
I was talking to a bunch of to agents, having weekend meetings every weekend, and then I got hurt. So kind of just everything
in your training,
off.
Or
no, I got hurt in first game of the season. I got hurt first game of the season, first game of COVID year, got injured.
Bummer.
So kind of shit just kind of started falling off. Yeah. People stopped talking to me.
Well, that's what happens.
Yeah, and then 2021 comes around. I'm talking to people some more, and then third game happens. I get hurt again. Like, just some crazy freakish injuries that just season injuries, just can't do nothing about it. And so they kind of fell off this year. I went into the process like, I'm not going to talk to fucking nobody. Like, I'm going to just go in here, just focus on having fun, playing my game. And at the end of the year, I'm going to see what happens. Like, see who really wants to mess with me. And
do you have any idea as far as draft status? Like, do people give you any indication?
Yeah, so I've met with, like I said, since the season's end, I've met with like two or three people.
Yeah.
And they've talked to me like, I'm like a projected day two, day three kind of guy.
Okay.
And honestly, like, you guys have told me, like, my 40 is a big deal. Like, people want to see how fast I am. Yeah. Nobody can really tell. Like,
no pressure.
No pressure at all.
I'm going to tell you, as a receiver, because you have the height, it's the only
thing. It's the only thing. My speed is a really big thing for me. And, like, people say I look fast, but they really need to see.
Yeah.
Like, they really need to see what I can do. Yeah. Like, I mean, because I've never really ran a 40. Like, my whole life, I grew up playing quarterback.
There's a specific technique that you can
run
into.
Yeah, exactly. That's absolutely true. Like, so, before we let you go, we want to get a final score prediction.
Final score. I got us with.
We are going to. We're going to edit this too. We're going to show the real.
38. I got us 38. I believe we score 5 tubs. Taryn makes 1 field goal. And they got 17.
Okay. 38-17. Okay, so that's
close
to an ass whooping.
38-17.
That is. I believe that's what it's going to be on.
Don't worry.
Just post after the game. Yeah, so there's no more material. All right, well, we'll let you get out of here. We know you got a busy week. We wanted to thank you. We're just doing this rapid fire. Wanted to talk to you about what the mindset, the mentality is right before a bowl game. You got a lot of stuff going on, both. Like, exciting to be in Boise, but also you got to play a game tomorrow.
Yeah,
you got to do media, like, stuff with us. But so, hey, congratulations on making it here. 38-17. We're going
to
hold you to that. We're going to see you on the sidelines tomorrow. We expect big things from you. So, thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much.
That's awesome. It means a lot. Thank you.
Cheers, bro.
Cheers.
All right.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's right.
That's a wrap.